This is the Better Presentations, More Sales podcast. And there's the clue in what we're going to be talking about in this episode, sales. So I'm very conscious that I haven't done sales, anything on sales in particular for a while. Now, of course, if you're listening to this because you really want to hone your presentation skills and your pitching skills, well, that's great. But of course, your sales skills are a big part of that mix as well. So I'm not going to actually talk about sales skills today. I'm coming up with five quick sales wins for you. Things that you can implement either in your day-to-day activity as a salesperson, or if you're running an organization that doesn't have a sales team and you, maybe you're responsible for sales, you're the owner of the business, something like that, these five quick wins will be applicable to you as well. So that's what we've got coming up on this episode. Hey everybody, welcome. This is the Better Presentations for Sales podcast. It's episode number 295. I'm your host, Trevor Lee. So thanks very much for tuning in. If you do like the podcast, then please do share it and leave a review or rating, something like that. Now, next week, or the next episode, which is due out on February the 26th, 2024, it'll be episode number 296, but it will also be the sixth anniversary since we started this podcast way back in 2018. So that episode, I'm going to focus on giving stuff away. All right. So as a celebration of reaching 6 years of podcasting with this particular podcast. So a brief history you might get, but I'm going to give lots of things away. So tune in. You could take away books, places on courses, all sorts of stuff, coaching sessions, whatever it might be. I've got to think of a way in which you can actually win them, all right, to make it a bit of fun. So things like that. So there we go. So that's coming up soon. Now, this session is called Five Quick Sales Wins, and it is essentially a review of the recent webinar that I did, the one I did this week, actually. It was the fourth in my series of four, January and February, 25-minute action-packed webinars. So it's not going to take me 25 minutes to go through this in an audio version. And if you would like to watch the webinars, you can. They're all on YouTube, but they're all in 4 to 5 minute versions. So if you go to my YouTube channel, Trevor Lee, Transform Your Presentations, I think that's the name of the YouTube channel, you will find them on there. And they're literally, I've turned them into 4 or 5 minute versions of the 25 minutes that we did. So we did Present Like a Pro, we did Win More Sales Pitches, we did 5 tips to transform your business presentations, and 5 quick sales wins, which is what I'm going to cover briefly today. I'm very excited also because the 5 tips to transform your business presentations, I'm delivering that live on March the 7th at the Bournemouth Expo, Bournemouth Business Expo here in the UK. And if you've got an expo or a business event coming up and you want someone to talk about transforming your presentations, you know, then do check it out. Do have a tune in. We did that episode recently anyway. It might have even been last week. Okay, I think it was. Yeah, we did transform your business presentations last week. So you can have a listen and get a feel for the kind of stuff I'm going to be sharing at the business expo. And if you've got an event, you need a speaker for 20 minutes to inspire and motivate and entertain your audience, then give me a shout, particularly in the UK, obviously. 20 minutes is a long way to go in the rest of the world, but this speaking slot is also available online as well. I can do it on Zoom as well. And the other thing that that you might be of interest to you is that I'm about to launch, keep an eye out for this, on LinkedIn, the Standout Business Presenters Club. It's going to be a kind of thing you can join on LinkedIn. I think I have to accept you as a member, okay? But if you want to look out for that, I'm going to go live. I'm just getting someone to work in on the heading at the moment before we go live to make that happen. But please do join that. And if you'd like to be a guest on this podcast, if you've got something to bring to the table in terms of better presentations and more sales, then do come along. I get a lot of guest requests through agents, but they send me the wrong people and I spend a lot of time turning them away because they just send me generic stuff and they say, hey, Frank will come and tell you his story about how he's become a billionaire in a week, you know, and all that sort of nonsense. And that's not what this podcast is all about. So this podcast is all about giving you tips and ideas to help you with your presentations, help you with your sales. And that's what we've got today. 5 quick sales wins. So let's go for the 5 quick sales wins. Right. Number one. Be proactive. So Alex Goldfein came on this podcast and talked about spending 5 minutes talking to your current customers, but calling them up, phoning them, not emailing them. Because people like me would rather talk than type, to be honest. And if you're on the phone, then you can continue to build that relationship, and a phone call, you never know where it might go. It could well create a further opportunity for you. So that's a way of being proactive. Very much in business, we're often very reactive. We wait for things to happen and then we do something. So someone contacts us, someone sends us an email, sends us a phone call, whatever message, whatever it might be. But if you can be proactive, it will make such a difference to your business. And start with your current customers. Somebody once said to me, I remember a quote, and I can't remember where I got it from now, but it said something along the lines of, your next big customer is an existing customer. And what they meant by that was that if you've got existing customers, well, presumably they like what's happening. They know you, and presumably they trust you as well, and they're using your product or service. So if you're proactive and you work with them even closer, and you contact them when they're not expecting it, you know, just to check in with them, things like that, that can make a real difference. And there may be opportunities that come out of that. And if you don't really want to make those calls, then why not fix up a client review with them? You know, if you don't do that already, then you should. Period. Really, frankly, you know, with your existing customers every 3 to 6 months, and just say the reason I want to meet with you, either, you know, in person or Zoom, depending on where they are in the world, of course, is to just check that the product or service that you're investing in via my company or via me is you're getting the maximum return from it. You're using it to its best advantage. Because, you know, loads of people buy stuff, don't they? And they don't use half of it. You know, think about your car. Do you know what all the gadgets do? And I've had my car several years. I still don't know how all the gadgets work on it. So that's a great way of doing it. So be proactive. Other ways of being proactive to create revenues, create sales, are to go networking, because, you know, that's a great opportunity to go, you know, great networking thing. But I always say to people, don't go to the same networking event. Some people do. They just go to the same networking event. They meet the same people and they get the same results. Do some marketing as well. And that's either company marketing or, more importantly, self-marketing, marketing yourself. Okay, LinkedIn's a great place to do that, you know. And if you want to, you know, go on LinkedIn, you want to connect with me, look out for as I mentioned earlier, the Standout Business Presenters Club, which I'm launching as well. So there we go. That's number one, be proactive. Right, number two, surprise and delight. Now, I don't know whether you've come across that phrase. I picked it up several years ago now. But surprise and delight are doing things for potential customers and existing customers that they don't expect, doesn't take you much to do, and they're absolutely chuffed to bits with the way you do it. All right. So there's a guy in the States called Brian Burns. And Brian was one of the inspirations for me starting a podcast. And he has a podcast, I think he's still going. It's called The Brutal Truth About Sales and Selling. And he had a phrase, I'm sure he still uses it, give before you take. And it's a great thing, isn't it, when you think about it? You know, give before you take. So if you're particularly working with a new client or potential new client, then think about what you could give them before you ask them to, you know, sign an order. Because if all you think about is, well, I'm not going to give them anything until they pay for it, then that's not going to be a great business strategy. So think about some of the things they might want. They might want a bit of advice. They might want a couple of ideas. They might want a bit of choice from you, things like that. They're all things that you can give them before you actually take from them. Okay, so think about how you do that. This is an example of give before you take. This podcast is free for you to listen to. I'm not asking you for any money. All I'm asking you to do is share and review it and maybe comment on it on LinkedIn. And the same with my short webinars and the webinars I pointed you to on YouTube. You're not going to have to go behind a paywall to access those 4 or 5 minute webinars. But if you do like them, that'd be great just to leave a comment. That's the way you can give something back for what I've offered you. So there we go. And then the other bit about surprise and delight is that when they are a customer of yours, and the example I used in the webinar I did, it was during lockdown or before lockdown, I buy loose leaf tea, okay? And there's a little shop where I live here in Cornwall in the UK, in the town of Truro, and they're called Tugboat, and they do loose leaf tea, and I buy it from them, and it was great. And then, of course, we went into lockdown, and you couldn't go in the shop, so I ordered online, and they sent me stuff through, and with the packages of the tea, it was a kind of invoice thing, you know, just to say what I'd ordered, how much I'd paid, all that sort of stuff. And then it was an A4, and the bottom half would have been normally blank. They'd filled it in with 3 lines and they'd written, "Hi Trevor," this is all handwritten, "many thanks for your order, all the best and stay safe, Mike and Jess." Now they knew my name was Trevor only because of the order. You know, I didn't know them personally and I assume Mike and Jess were the owners of the business. I didn't know them either. But what a great touch. And here I am 3 or 4 years later telling you all about that. And I've shared that a lot. And I went in the shop after lockdown and I told them I'd shared it a lot. But little things like that make such a difference. So one of the great surprise and delight factors is a handwritten note. It's not an email. It's not a text message. Because that's, you know, it's just too easy to do and it gets lost with everything else. Send them a handwritten note, a little card, anything like that. Send it in the post. It makes such a difference. Right, number three is respond quickly. Now, very much in business, you know, we can be a bit casual at times, can't we? I know, I'm sure most of you are onto it. But way back when in this podcast, I had a guy called Nicholas Vandenberg from Chili Piper in the US on. And what Chili Piper do, they're a big business and in New York, and they provide software to organizations which helps them make sure that when inquiries come into the business in whatever form that is, they're filtered very quickly to someone who's free to take them and they get onto it. So they respond very quickly. And Nicholas came on the show and he said that it had been done a piece of research that suggested that if someone's, you know, sending out the same inquiry to two or three different people, so I don't know, you're looking for a bit of artwork, you're looking for a new web designer, you might need a lawyer, whatever it could be, the first person to respond has got a 78% chance of winning the business. Not guaranteed that you'll win the business, but you increase your chances. Because we know, and you will know if you've listened to this podcast, that sales is all about momentum. And if you can keep that momentum going, then it makes a big difference. And the momentum starts when I think, oh, I need a new website. So I do a bit of research, I find three or four people, and then I send out the invitation. You know, I contact them all. So I've got momentum then. I'm really excited about a new website. If no one responds to me or it takes ages to respond, the momentum begins to drift. So make sure that you aren't responsible for that momentum drift. Respond quickly. Don't think, oh, I'll deal with that tomorrow. And then, of course, when you are, you know, in your organization and I am contacting you, and this comes into point four in a second, it's really important that when I've got that momentum, if I do contact you directly, you know, I phone you up or I visit you or whatever, then just check, how are you greeting me? What, you know, how's that going to work? Who's going to pick up the phone? What first impressions am I going to get? Oh, and if I ring the number, a mobile number, maybe your number, what is your voicemail? If that's the first point of contact I make with you and you can't answer the phone, well, that's fine. I understand that because you're busy people probably. But what is your voicemail message? Have you checked that? Is it still saying you're taking a couple of days off in January and you'll be back on Thursday? And finally, on respond quickly, if you go to trade shows, I worked with quite a few people on trade shows in terms of strategy for trade shows, for dealing with customers and making sure you maximize the opportunities that trade shows create. And the biggest problem people have at trade shows is they have people come on their stand. They get all very excited about things that they're looking at, your stand, on your stand. And then, of course, you know, you take a few notes, you say they will send them some details, you have a great conversation, and then they move on and so do you. And then, you know, you're at a trade show for two or three days maybe. You get back, you have a couple of days off to recover, and then you think, right, where's that list of all those people? And then you start doing something about it. Too late, okay? They've missed, they've forgotten you. The momentum's gone. They moved on. They've already started to forget you by the time they move on to the next stand on the trade show, let alone a week later when you contact them. So get onto it straight away. That evening, you know, do everything in the same day. It makes such a big difference. You know, I've been to a couple of trade shows in the last 6 months, business trade shows, and a couple of people, I was really interested in a couple of things. One was the big screen thing that I could put up in my office. So when I do Zoom calls, it would be, you know, a big screen effect kind of thing. Have I heard from them? Not a dicky. Nothing. Can't believe it. I can't even remember who they were. So, right, that's number three. Number four, this is an obvious one, but hey, good. How good are we at it? You know, make it easy to buy for your customers. So, you know, where can I find you? And if I find you, do I know what you're going to offer? And why is that important? Well, the McKinsey Group, amongst others, for, you know, the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, I've heard this number quoted around now, is that apparently in the business-to-business sector, 70% of buying decisions are made before any direct contact is made with the company. So I know I need that web designer, so I'm researching web designers, I'm looking at reviews, I'm looking at clients they've worked with, I'm doing all that homework, and I'm kind of making a list. And you might be top of that list from the research I've done. So then the next step, of course, is making sure that when I do contact you, the things that you heard in number three, like responding quickly, the greeting, all that stuff, are well executed. All right. And then also check your customer buying process in terms of making it easy to buy. How easy is it for customers to actually go through your buying process or their, you know, the process you ask them to go through? You know, and it's amazing how many organizations say, well, yeah, this is because this is the way we do it. Yeah, but is that the way the customers want to do it? So your design, if you're designing your customer buying process around you and not them, that could be an issue. So, you know, there might be six steps in there for your customers to take to just buy from you or make contact with you or arrange an appointment with you. You know, a classic example is people who put contact forms on websites. And you say, you know, book a call, book a demo, particularly a demo, book a meeting. And what do? You have to fill in a form with your name and your email and your contact number. And then you press send. And then it goes into the organization, and then eventually they pick it up and respond to it. And then they come back to you and they start saying, well, what about a week on Thursday or 2 weeks on Tuesday? And all this, you know, this is so complicated. And you could use something like I do for loads of things now, including podcast recordings, like Calendly. You send them a link. They click on it. They choose when they want to come and see you because you've told them when you're available. Wow, it makes such a difference. You know, it's transformed the way that I organize my own meetings and get them as well. So, check that customer buying process. And then, you know, remember, when you're making it easy to buy, that is all about helping the buyer to buy. So one thing you must do, I think, is offer a choice. So if someone's narrowed it, you know, if they're having a great conversation with you and you've got to the proposal stage, offer a choice. Because buyers like to think they're in control. And if you don't offer them a choice, you just say, here's my idea, here's the service or product, then it's kind of take it or leave it, isn't it, really? So I learned very quickly in my sales career, which started about 100 years ago when I worked on the advertising department in the Lincolnshire Echo back in the day. This was long before email and all that stuff. But the way I quickly realized to get sales was to go around and see clients and prospective clients and make it easy for them to say yes. So I take three sketches of advertising ideas for them, all priced up so they could see what the prices were. And they were all pretty similar, but they weren't the same. And basically, then they could choose. And they say, well, I'd like this one, but could I change that? Of course you can. And therefore, sale done. Ching, you know, gone. I was giving them a choice, and I was also making it easy for them to buy. And it was only several years later where I realized what I'd been doing, frankly. So there we go. Right, number five. And this is so important if you're trying to do sales. And that is, you've got to be able to shut up. It's really important. Sales is not about talking. So don't talk all the time like a lot of salespeople do. Sales is all about being curious. It's about asking big questions. Because if you ask big questions, you will get clues back from the buyers. All right? Because they'll love answering questions about themselves. Okay? But ask good questions. Don't say, how's business? Or are you really busy? Or all those terrible questions that people ask you at networking events. My favorite question is, what's the biggest challenge you've got right now in your business? Now, if you ask anybody that, they're not going to say yes or no. and they're going to think, that's a good question. Well, actually, I reckon our biggest challenge is. Now, there's a clue in there that might be helpful for you, because you might be providing a solution to one of the challenges that they've got. And hey ho, if you do that well, you're on your way to making a sale. But that means you've got to be good at listening, you've got to be alert and ready to reply. And talking and listening and confirming and clarifying, and particularly if you get into a sales negotiation, you know, that is so important to get those things in the right order. You know, I've done some sales negotiation work with people over the years, and often we end up doing little role play type things, you know, in little teams. And I say to each team individually, I give them a brief away from each other, and I say to them, whatever you do, do not interrupt when someone on the other side of the table starts telling you something. Don't finish it off for them. And what do? They naturally start interrupting. And that's the worst thing you can probably do in negotiations, because you're not listening if you're interrupting, and you're not giving the other person a chance to tell you everything they want to tell you, and that will be where the clues lie. Right, there we go, folks. There's the five quick sales wins for you. Be proactive, surprise and delight your customers, respond quickly, make it easy for them to buy, and know when to shut up. And I know when to shut up now. So thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode, which is the sixth anniversary of this episode, of the anniversary of this podcast. So I've got some goodies I'm going to give away. Hopefully you'll be interested in acquiring them. So tune in for that, and I'll see you then. Thanks for listening.